This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. As you're tuning in today, folks, fellow conspiracy realists, this is the first listener mail of August 2022. We made it. Folks, this is officially the Conspiracy Stuff Show birthday month for your faithful correspondents, Matt and Noel and whatever they call me.
It's Ben.
It depends on who they is, frankly.
But, That's fair.
Yeah, this time we are going to explore. We got a lot of messages. And for me, at least, this drove home some of the communication I had recently drove home to me that this is more than a show. As weird as it feels to say it, it's become quite a community, and we learn about this, I think, every time we do listener mail with all the strange stories and follow-ups that we hear from around the world now. So we're going to learn about a black market that you may not expect if you are outside of the auto industry. We're going to learn about a stunning mystery that haunted us for years, decades, that has been solved, asterisk, and you'll see what we mean there at the end. But first, we're going to have some follow-ups on on the issue of trust and things that are connected to the cloud. In last week's Strange News segment, we discussed how Amazon is snitching. It's snitching on you if you have a Ring camera. At least 11 times it's done this. But that is just the beginning, because we recently received what I call a tasty email, Noel, about another danger of smart devices.
Very tasty. From an elf, it would seem, named Keebler, the titular elf of cookie fame. Hey, guys, you can call me Keebler. listening to your July 25th Strange News and the segment about Ring cameras being shared with God knows who reminded me of a story I read this weekend on Nextdoor, itself worthy of an episode. Nextdoor, the hive of the nosy neighbor and the overreactive. Accurate. There is a June 2021 story on Vox about this, a different bit of smart technology, Nest, and their smart thermostats. The story is that power companies in Texas have been using an app connected to the Nest thermostat to increase their customers' air conditioner settings a few degrees here and there as a way to let them cut power consumption and preserve their too fragile power grid. The culprit is a program called Smart Savers Texas, which enters folks in a $5,000 sweepstakes if they surrender some measure of control to their smart thermostat. People were hot about it on Nextdoor, as people tend to be on Nextdoor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and also hot. One complained they had a newborn baby who could not speak up about being too hot. Another worried about the implications of northern climates in the cold winter. So, some grist for the conspiracy grinder. Thanks, all, and I love your show. Thank you, Keebler, for this hot tip. I found the Vox article in question from June 21st of last year by Sarah Morrison, How Your Power Company Can Remotely Control Your Smart Thermostat. And as I've mentioned recently, I purchased a house, and the previous owners were a bit of a smart home techie nerds, which I am too. I like all that stuff. I have all the Hue bulbs and all of that. I'd never owned a Nest system in my previous rentals because they were rentals. But this place came pre-installed with one, and it's really cool. You can, you know, set it for a schedule to, you know, have the air fluctuate depending on the time of day, depending on if you're home or not. There's all kinds of ways of doing it. And yes, I understand the implications of all of this connectedness and cloud capabilities and the, you know, risk it may pose to privacy, but I've given all of that up long ago, and I'm happy to live in a futuristic home, you know, for the privilege of giving away some semblance of privacy. And I'm not that worried about this whole snitching thing. I do think it's interesting, and there are implications. I also have a Ring situation my girlfriend brought over from her previous place, and my kid, who's old enough now to stay home by herself, is a fan because she can look at the cameras. We can monitor the cameras, you know, remotely when we're away. Anytime someone's at the front door, you get a notification, and you can even talk to the person at the front door when you're not there. So there's some cool things about that. The Nest power company issue is a very interesting one. And presumably it does require some sort of buy-in. But it's, again, maybe one of those fine print kind of situations. The Smart Savers Texas program, it accurately does involve a sweepstakes where you can win $5,000 off of your energy bill for the coming year. But a lot of these users didn't realize exactly how much control they were giving to the power companies. And so from the Vox article, quote, the idea of a power company turning up your thermostat like a stereotypical electricity bill conscious dad might seem dystopian, but it's also fairly common. There are programs like Smart Savers Texas all over the country, from California to New England. The idea behind them is to decrease power consumption to alleviate stress on the electrical grid and avoid brownouts. Since customers aren't likely to volunteer to use less of the power they pay for when they need it most, these programs give them an incentive and the means to do so easily by proxy. I'm just going to keep going because this is good stuff. Some programs provide better incentives than others. When it launched in 2011, Philadelphia's Smart AC Saver program gave participants a $120 bill credit, which was apparently too generous and was cut to just $40 in subsequent years. But Smart Savers Texas only offers this chance for the sweepstakes, you know, to win this big prize. And apparently the terms were super vague. So, you know, it's very interesting terms of service kind of question here when you're entering into this. And also just the fact that it is so easy to just click the box and say, yes, I accept, you know, without actually reading the fine print. And it's one thing if it's like a website or something like that, but it's another thing when these things actually infiltrate your home. And it really should give you pause and make you a lot more conscious about reading these types of terms of service. And also, I believe Nest is owned by Google. You have to use the Google Home app to control the Nest, which is a little weird. because there's a Nest app, but it makes you use Google Home. So I'm a little confused as to why they both exist. It might just be a legacy thing. So you are kind of probably being monitored, whether it's just, you know, for informational purposes, for statistics, you know, power consumption and all that. But there are kind of far-reaching implications for what these kinds of programs could portend for the future, you know, where within those terms of services, you could be giving away much more control over these smart devices than you realize without even entering into a sweepstakes of some kind. I don't know. What do y'all think? Is this the tip of the iceberg? Is this the beginning of that slippery slope into, you know, having your thermostat controlled by, you know, some overlord? Or is this just, you know, a clever way of trying to reduce strain on the grid, which is technically good for everyone in the long run?
Full slip and slide. It's happening. I mean, this is another indication of the overall trend toward removing the concept of ownership, right? The concept of privacy is already an endangered species. And as we pointed out in the past, the modern understanding of privacy is itself a pretty recent development. So it makes sense that people would want to remove the idea of privacy, but also removing the idea of ownership allows you to sell something but never really give it to the person. You can give them a service, right? And now you can have increasing control over how that service is delivered. So I think next things to happen, we'll see this increasingly in autonomous vehicles. There's already in some non-autonomous vehicles, there are complaints about having to pay extra to unlock features that already exist in some cars. I believe BMW is a great example of that, Tesla as well. We're going to see this increasingly, I think, in consumer electronics. We're already, you know, it's very common now for someone to not actually buy a phone because they're pretty expensive for most folks, but instead to get kind of a layaway plan. And then that layaway plan can also be an excellent entry point into forcing people to have stuff. Because just like we said with Sesame Credit, remember, it was opt-in in the beginning. And this smart thermostat thing is opt-in at the beginning. That's where I think it's headed. I also want to shout out real quick. I sent this story to you guys. We might get to it later on. But I want to shout out my pal Rebel Devil on Instagram, who actually knows one of those 11 people involved in one of those 11 cases where Amazon was snitching. But yeah, no, I think it's, I don't even think it's the beginning. I think it's a future that is closer and closer to becoming the present. So I don't blame anyone who says they want to go full analog. Just be aware it's going to be increasingly difficult to do that with each passing year.
What I foresee is a tiered system, much like PlayStation Network just did with their PlayStation Plus program, where you can get the basics. You can have, you know, your utilities, your power and your gas, but we as the company get to control the levels you get to exist within, right? So probably too hot for many people, probably too cold for many people, but at this base level, you're gonna have, you know, you're not gonna die. We're going to keep you alive, right?
Happens and with you water, pay, too.
Thank that you. Blessed overlord.
Yeah. You pay a little more and those margins come in a little bit closer. And if you pay for the premium, you could do whatever the hell you want with your power and gas.
But isn't that frightening? Because that's what we're talking about. Tiered citizenship, ultimately. Mm-hmm. Not in mm-hmm. all but name. So, like, you can. Do you know who I am? My father is a premium gold medallion citizen. And I'll be damned if you talk to me this way in a Baskin Robbins.
Yeah, that's interesting. Seriously. Well, that's an interesting reference there, Ben, because with airline SkyMiles type programs, mm-hmm. it's so opaque as to what a SkyMile is actually worth. That's controlled by the company, and there's no transparency into what that process is. And, you know, the miles that you have to earn to get to that next tier It's also pretty vague. You have like a chart in your app that kind of tells you where you are along the process. They're called MQMs or something like that.
Yeah.
With Delta anyway.
Miles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm a silver medallion status person. And, you know, we have friends that work for Delta, and I've been told that is a trash status. And that people that work for the company make fun of people with silver medallion status. I don't even get to go to the Sky Lounge. And this is through thousands of miles of travel that work has paid for the most part. You know, we're very lucky we get to get those miles for our personal, you know, accounts. But as an individual, I never would have spent that much on travel. So just the amount you'd have to spend on travel to get to that diamond status is unbelievable over time, you know.
And it resets every year.
And it resets every year. So I see what you're saying. These are almost like, especially with the smart car things you're saying, Ben, it's almost like in-app purchases in either phone apps that are free to play,
yes,
but not the whole thing. You don't get to,
yes,
unlock all of the little baubles. And then, you know, once you're in the ecosystem, you're kind of like eating out of their hand to a degree because you don't get the same experience.
Imagine if it is a microtransaction system. Look, I've been playing a little bit of that Diablo Immortal game, and my God, the microtransactions in that sucker.
But it's egregious.
It is, but it's still so much fun. It's still Diablo. I'm addicted. But anyway, imagine if every time you went to your thermostat and you wanted to, like, let's say turn it down 1 degree to 76 or 75. You had to choose to make that microtransaction at that moment, at that point of sale, where you get 1 degree. If you want 2 degrees, it's going to be a little more expensive because 2 degrees right now we're at peak hours. So you're going to have to spend a little more. And instead of it just being a monthly thing that gets calculated by the company, you are actually seeing it happen, and they're overcharging a bit more than they would. Mm.
Do you want a signature or classic vote, or are we going to go for comfort vote plus today? That will give you 1.2 of a vote.
Mm-hmm. We have two more openings today for Comfort Plus vote.
Right. You can upgrade to premium vote. That does count as two votes.
Premium anyway, doctor.
Yeah. Anyway,
okay.
Well, that's already
a thing.
In network, out of network. Yeah. And then, you know, you make a good point, Matt, because tie that in again. Saying this more and more often, nothing exists in a vacuum, despite what headlines seem to indicate. And that's not a ding on journalists. They have to report a narrow scope of a story, right? Ideally based on what they can prove. But what we're seeing is already occurring in multiple other ways. One of the huge investment categories right now that does well, even during economic downturns, is med tech, biotech, medical monitoring. You know, like, you might be freaked out if you haven't seen it right now. If you are a user of Chrome, or you have a Google account, many, 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 many people do in the US and abroad. Just go, if you want to give yourself just a little bit of a freaky feeling, then go to your little Google avatar, little thumbnail there in Chrome, if you use Chrome, and then scroll down. You'll go to manage my account. And you'll see basic info, contact info, blah, blah, blah. And then go to data and privacy, and you will see stuff about Google Fit. You might not have opted into it. You will have to opt into it, right? But Google Fit is already set up in the ecosystem. It's already part of your account. It's to manage, like, to monitor your medical history, or like your physical habits, right? So they'll count my 10,000 steps kind of thing. But you can also see monitoring of this sort on iPhones. There aren't grand announcements about it that are hitting the public sphere often, maybe a couple times in a news cycle annually, but you will be surprised if you look by just how sophisticated the infrastructure and architecture is for monitoring you right now. And it's not because these companies think of people like Pokemon. They don't want to collect everyone because it's fun. They don't get badges for it. They're going to use the information. Like you said, Noel, I've long been on record saying that terms of service are purposely obtuse at this point in many fields. That is by design. That is the world we are headed toward. And I feel like I've got a sandwich board walking, and I'm walking around like the end of privacy is nigh or whatever. But if I did that, my sandwich board would be cartoonishly outdated. The end of privacy already occurred quite a while ago. Privacy now is a is the domain of the very, very well-to-do and people living outside of the bounds of conventional society, unfortunately.
Dude. Ben, I did exactly what you said, and I went to my little Google person, went through the trees, and I went to manage my location history, and I went to things you've done and places you've been. Clicked on that, because that sounds horrifying, and it's got your history settings, your maps and timeline, places you go, when you were there, how you got there. Thankfully, my history was turned off, but there was one location, and it was an urgent care I went to. I don't even know when, but it was in there, just hanging out. I don't like this.
Yeah, it's weird. And all the while we've been doing this, I've just been, well, you guys have been talking, I just saw that I had a critical security alert on my Google account. There was some suspicious login attempt, and it's like, I don't even know if it was me or not, because you have to change your password so much. It's like, maybe I just forgot and like tried too many random different passwords, and I registered myself as a security risk. but just to add this, to close this out, Google Nest does have its own program called Rush Hour Rewards. That are leagued up with different power companies. You know, they vary depending on where you live. So, like, for example, Con Ed in New York offers up to $85 if you enroll. National Grid is giving out $25 gift cards. And some power companies actually offer discounts for your power bill if you use a smart thermostat. But again, enrolling maybe gives them some access. Who knows? I don't know the details, but it does seem like that's certainly possible. So there's so much to talk about here, as we've discovered. I think there might be episode material moving forward. But let's take a quick pause, have a word from our sponsor, and then come back with another piece of listener mail.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety Archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think Abuelita knows best? Wilmer Valderrama here, executive producer of the podcast De My Abuelita First, and we definitely do. Join us while our host Vico Ortiz and our abuelita Liliana Montenegro play matchmaker for you loving hopefuls out there. Vico?
Yes, yes, Wilmer. We are ready for another wild ride. Listen every Thursday as Abuelita Liliana and I meet 3 single cuties who will vie for a date with 1 lucky dater. Except, to get their heart, they have to win over Abuelita first.
How PG is this?
Not at all. Totally are. Abuelita's here, so bring it.
Through speed dating rounds, hilarious games, and AI, Abuelita's intuition, one contestant might be lucky enough to become the perfect match. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps.
Listen to De My Abuelita First as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. We are going to jump to the phone lines and hear a message from Jack.
Hey, Matt, guys, this is Jack calling. Just listening to your episode on academic journal corruption, and you guys made a passing joke about stealing Honda Civics, and I got a personal story. So about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I bought a 2016 Honda Civic. And it's the newest car I've ever owned. And at the time, I didn't have a set parking spot in my apartment complex, so I was parking on the street. Well, about a week and a half later, I go out, go grab some KFC, and I notice that my passenger window has been smashed in, and my driver's steering wheel airbag has been stolen. Come to find out, after doing some research into it, the Honda Civic's airbag is notoriously easy to remove. There's just 2 screws that require a basic Allen key. And on the black market, they can fetch upwards of $1,000. Not sure, Canadian or American. Yeah, so they sell it to these dirty mechanic shops, and they wait for people to come in who have either had an accident and or, in my case, someone has stolen the airbag. Basically coming in to get a new airbag installed, and half the time these dirty shops will actually use stolen airbags. So just rinse and repeat. They probably write down the people's information to go back and steal it a few weeks later. Anyway, all right, take care, guys.
Oh boy. So oh, yeah. So, Ben, I figured you would have lots to say here. You're the one that brought up Honda Civics are the cars to steal, apparently, and I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
I really thought it was going to be Odysseys because, I mean, everybody is in the market for those once you have a kid, and they're so freaking expensive.
It's all the cup holders.
I know so many cup holders. So, yeah, Ben, what do you think about that statement from Jack about airbags specifically?
Jack, you are on the money, my friend, unfortunately. And it's something we explored a little bit many years ago, our pal Scott Benjamin and I, on a show called Car Stuff. Yeah, it's part of the reason that the Honda airbags are so attractive to thieves and to the dirty shops that often contract out to them is it's exactly what you described. But to go a little bit deeper on this, we should all note that one of the reasons that Honda Civics and parts of Honda Civics were stolen so often throughout the past couple decades, actually, is because they didn't have a lot of anti-theft technology that would be common in other cars. It's also because there are already so many Honda Civics out there that there was a demand for the parts. You could easily fence and move them, right? It'd be different. Yeah, if you were like, I only steal proprietary components of exotic cars, then the 12 people in your city who own that car are going to know something's up. You got to feed from the larger herd if you're a predator, right? And you got to pick off the weak and the disadvantaged. The other thing, I love that you nailed it, man. That airbag is ridiculously easy to take out, which feels great if you're doing work on a car. That's awesome, because a lot of times, as you know, there can be parts of a car that can be a real pain in the butt to fix, repair, or replace. But the other thing...
Yeah, but safety features, I want to be super difficult to take out and put back in. Like an airbag that's going to explode in my face, but it's only attached with two Allen screws?
It makes you think, like, when the engineers are brainstorming, how many... accidents did they think this driver was going to get in? They were like, this guy needs to replace this thing probably every 3 months. We should throw a couple extra in the trunk.
There's actually a plot about this in the last season of The Sopranos, where they're boosting airbags and moving them through a friendly auto shop, and they talk about getting $1,000 to $2,000 for them. And there's even a thing where one of the mobsters, he's at a sort of a pinch. He takes the one out of his personal car and sells it, and then also again gets in a car accident. And luckily, he doesn't die or anything. But it's something that this is 15 years ago. This is something that's been going on for a long time. You think they would have made it a little more difficult to get these out? It's sort of more modern equivalent of stealing car stereos. But this is even better because you don't know that it's been stolen. I think that's the idea, right? You put it back, and then people just are riding around in death traps.
That's part of it.
I think you would notice, right, if your airbag is stolen.
You would definitely notice.
At some point, we gotta put it back.
We've got to talk about the margins, because there are enormous profit margins here, but I'm sure we'll get to that.
Exactly. There are enormous profit margins. That's why it's happening so much. And I just want to go to your point, Noel. It's not just back then. It's still happening today. And it's not just you, Jack. Let me jump to a story from WUSA Channel 9. I think that's CBS, the Fightin' 9. This is from May 2022. The title is 11 Honda Civics Burglarized in String of Airbag Thefts in Arlington, police say. So this is Arlington, Virginia. There were, in fact, 11 Honda Civic airbags stolen, and there are a total of 35 airbags that have been stolen in the area over the course of 3 weeks. So that's one area that's in May of this year. If we jump back to 2018, there's a story in Car Buzz that cites some serious statistics, guys. I had no idea. They're specifically talking about Honda Civics and Accords and about stealing airbags. And they jump down to some numbers coming out of the National Insurance Crime Bureau, and they estimate about 50,000 airbags are stolen every year. But they don't track trends about what maker model these airbags are being stolen out of. But right. Hondas are specifically targeted for the reasons we mentioned earlier. That's pretty crazy. In Miami-Dade County, this article says, thieves stole 875 airbags in 2017.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and another interesting thing, just to talk about some of the math here, fellow fans of automobiles in the audience might be saying, hey, why is it the driver's side airbag that's being stolen? Because that's overwhelmingly what's getting taken from the Hondas. It's because it's the most likely to activate in any crash. Almost an altercation. I don't think cars get into altercations just yet. Update us, Tesla. But the idea is you can cut this out without detonating it, right? And like you mentioned, Jack, I'm going to throw some numbers from the U.S. They might not be one-to-one with Canadian numbers, but I imagine the margins are pretty close, and that's what we should be looking at. So buying it from the factory, you're looking at $1,000, right? Give or take. And if you buy it online without knowing the provenance of it, you can get it for as little as $300 like even $200 or something, if you don't ask too many questions, the cost of replacing this thing plus labor is $2,000 to $3,000. So you get, yes, you're already making hundreds of dollars when you're selling a an old or a stolen airbag as a factory fresh one. And then on top of that, you charge the labor. And then to that other point, like Jack said, why not keep the information? You know, you don't have to get your hands dirty. You can just let it be known to a couple of folks who hang out at the shop, right? That there may be some opportunity and that you are paying $300 for airbags. No questions asked.
And just to piggyback on that and go back to the Sopranos grift and the plotline that I mentioned, they would further increase their profit margins by taking these stolen airbags and putting them in cars that were being repaired in this shop that had deployed their airbags, and then charge the insurance company for a brand new one. Not like the insurance company is going to ask to see the box or something like that, I guess. And that costs double.
Yeah, it seems like they will be doing that because insurance fraud specifically in this realm seems to be intense.
Oh yeah,
I bet the insurance companies are highly incentivized to crack down on this. And it's weird to think about that this is all happening around the same time. Do you guys remember, gosh, I want to say it was 2017, maybe it was earlier than that. Honda specifically, I think, had an airbag recall, and it was something crazy, like millions. I think tens of millions, maybe 50 million airbags got recalled. And they're not the only company that's had to deal with that.
12 million.
12 million.
Who pays for that? If you own the car, you take it back to the dealership and they just do it gratis? What a loss. What a screw up and an unimaginable loss. But it also speaks to how much money these companies make that this wouldn't just like bankrupt them.
If anybody's interested, check out Car Stuff again. I don't want to plug it too hard. There's also a great episode on how to find a mechanic you trust, because there are unethical mechanics out there who have no compunction about preying on someone that they think they can swindle, right? Like you can see all the, like Just Brakes has gotten in trouble with this. That's a regional chain here in the US. We also see many stories that are easy to prove of someone claiming a part is broken, like maybe an alternator or something. They say, okay, that's what's wrong with your car. The alternator's busted. But it's not the alternator. Your alternator is fine. You just didn't look under the hood. You got a mechanic to do it. And what they do is they take that alternator that works, they swap it out, they put it in someone else's car, and then they sell you a new alternator that they got for wholesale. You know what I mean? Like there are a multitude of ways for this to happen. So this can be a grift. Jack, you're absolutely right. But the question is it a fatal grift? And that's where I remember learning, Matt, that the FBI and the pretty much every traffic safety authority, they don't really track airbag thefts. And I think in the vast majority of times after a crash, if we're trying to figure out whether someone got killed by black market airbags or something, it's kind of tough because there's not really a lot of testing after a crash to say like, hey, is this a legit airbag, or does this airbag look like it was torn out and put in a couple different steering wheels? That just doesn't happen.
Just imagine how many airbags had to explode when they weren't supposed to explode for a major car company or, you know, airbag company to recall 12 million of their units. There had to be something. There had to be a ton of them before they're like, okay, we're going to take that loss. Which baffles my mind.
Well, it's a cost risk analysis, right? Yeah, exactly. How likely are we when the amount of the lawsuits are going to exceed the amount that they will lose in doing the thing? That's when it happens. That's the
thank
only
you,
way.
Fight Club. And guys, if you're going to lube, or if you're going to go to a lube, take your time. Don't do it in a jiffy or a spiffy or whatever it is. Just take your time with the lube.
You know, I got to say, I was actually going to bring this up. I recently went to a, I went to a Take Five oil change, and they do like a 12 minute oil change. They give you snacks and water. And speaking to your point, Ben, about finding a trustworthy mechanic, you know, oftentimes they'll be like, oh, you need to change your filter, even if you don't. The guy held, he pulled my filter out and showed it to me and compared it to a clean one. And mine looked like trash. And I realized I probably had never changed it. So I did it.
Yeah, you got to be careful too sometimes, because there are tricks. Again, the majority of mechanics, at least in my experience and from the research I've done, are fine. They're fine. They're great people, and they're going to be honest with you. You just have to be cognizant of, as much as I abhor the phrase, the few bad apples. So in that case, I'm going to tell you some of the Sith Lord side of this stuff. What you do then is you don't open the hood in front of the customer and pull out the filter. What you do is you make them go sit in the lobby, and you take the prop dirty filter that you keep around for cars like that, and you carry it in and say, this is what a clean filter looks like. This is what a good filter looks like. And we can replace it. No, you probably didn't. I'm just saying that's how it can work. And, anyway, it's really important to change your air filter. Oh my God, I'm going like dad mode.
Yep. Hey,
change
it's too
your
much.
Air filter.
Jack, everybody, watch out for your airbags, okay? It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. If you've got an airbag, someone might want it. So I recommend you go read Why Would Someone Want to Steal My Airbag by Ed Grabianowski on howstuffworks.com.
The Grabster.
Is that how you say? I think that's how you say his last name. I just know Ed G. But Go read that article. Listen to Car Stuff. It's still available. And we'll be right back with more messages from you.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think Abuelita knows best? Wilmer Valderrama here, executive producer of the podcast De My Abuelita First. And we definitely do. Join us while our host, Pico Ortiz, and our abuelita, Liliana Montenegro, play matchmaker for you loving hopefuls out there. Pico?
Yes, yes, Wilmer. We are ready for another wild ride. Listen every Thursday as Abuelita Liliana and I meet three single cuties who will vie for a date with one lucky dater. Except, to get their heart, they have to win over Abuelita first.
How PG is this?
Not at all. Totally are. Abuelita's here, so bring it.
Through speed dating rounds, hilarious games, and AI, Abuelita's intuition, one contestant might be lucky enough to become the perfect match. Let's see if Chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps.
Listen to De My Abuelita first as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have returned. Sorry, guys, I got sucked back into the car.
I was excited
crime,
about that happening.
No, it was great.
Conspiracies.
It's great.
Oh man, I miss it.
They even put on your little mechanic suit. You got your pencils in your pocket there, and your air pressure gauge. And I mean, it was a thing to behold. A real transformation before our very eyes.
We are vast. We contain multitudes. You know what I mean? Walt Whitman is right. But so this one, this thing we're closing with today for this listener mail segment comes to us courtesy of many, many of our fellow conspiracy realists. Folks reached out to me directly, Appen Bolin and Appen Bolin HSW on Instagram and Twitter. Folks emailed us at the show. Folks posted on our Facebook group. Here's where it gets crazy. So much so that I had to just choose one person to thank. And this is out of all the people we can thank in Australia, as we're going to see, the Australian Battalion of stuff they don't want you to know. I don't like battalion. That's a little militant.
Australian battalion?
You can have a rhyme with it.
Maybe.
And if I say our Australian friends, I sound like a spy. Look, all our fellow conspiracy realists in Australia were hip to this and some of the first people to tell us about it. I want to shout out specifically our longtime listener and dear friend of the show, Simon Workman. Simon also reached out and hipped us to this because Simon is awesome. So thank you to
Excellent
Simon.
Excellent taste in music, that guy.
Oh, very much so. Audiophile with no limit. So Simon, if you're hearing this, we're big, big fans of yours, man, and hope you're doing well. So with thanks to Simon and everybody else, like literally dozens and dozens and dozens of people who sent us this story, we can finally say it. The identity of the mysterious Somerton man appears to have been revealed through very clever work and with DNA technology primarily. Researchers have finally solved the case. For brief recap, for anybody who doesn't know this case, the Somerton man is a corpse. And it's also called the Tamam Chud case. We covered this several years ago a couple of different times in a couple of different ways because up until now, the case seemed incredibly difficult to solve. There was a lot of tantalizing stuff there that implied tradecraft, depending on how you interpreted it. And then there was a lot of stonewalling, like not an active cover-up, just you couldn't find enough to get to the next step. This body was found on December 1st, 1948 on Somerton Park Beach and could not be identified. Identifying things that would have been useful for investigations at the time were gone. It's called the Tamam Chud case because of the Persian phrase Tamam Chud, which means is over or is finished. And it was printed on a scrap of paper in a pocket of the guy's pants. It had been torn from the final page of the Rubaiyat. So true crime, tantalizing, mystery, possibly espionage related. Many, many theories over the years from 1948 to 2002. But as you pointed out, folks, very recently, a guy named Derek Abbott from the University of Adelaide, and pardon my pronunciation there, Aussie friends, please tell us how to pronounce these towns. We all know Melbourne. We got Melbourne right, but Adelaide, I'm stumbling over. Anyway, so Abbott says that they found the identity of this person. It is Carl Webb, Charles to his friends, an electrical engineer and instrument maker born in Melbourne in 1905. They found this by using DNA sequencing. And the way that they did the DNA is also really interesting because they didn't take it directly from the corpse. They took it from like a plaster death mask. And you guys, like, I think we all remember some of this, some of the ins and outs of this thing. Professor Abbott has been working on this since March of 2009. And he found things like assumptions police had made in the case. He found different ways to look at objects that were found with the body, such as particular brand of cigarettes, or excuse me, the cigarette packet itself was a cheaper brand, but there were nicer cigarettes inside, right? Curiouser and curiouser.
I mean, I remember just all this speculation about him being a spy because of little details like that. I mean, the cryptic message that was, what, as you mentioned, was found. But then just to take cigarettes that are better and put them in a cheaper pack, why would you do that unless you are trying to blend in some way or trick people into thinking you don't have as much money? There's just so much speculation there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, of course, things like tags torn from clothing so you can't really identify the brand. All sorts of stuff about the autopsy. So he has been, since 2009, he being Abbott, has been trying to get like the body exhumed. Law enforcement and the professor and his team kind of met in the middle, and the police eventually gave Abbott strands of the man's hair that had been trapped in a plaster death mask the police made of the Somerton man's face in the 1940s. When the body was discovered. And then he and his team worked to build out a family tree. So they had the DNA information, right? But your genetic identity does not come with the things human society puts on you, like a name. You know, you don't have Jack or Keebler or Simon Workman in your DNA. That's just what everybody has agreed to call you. And so they had this DNA, and that's a really unique thing to have, right? But now they have to search the field. And so they had already kind of had the name Webb in there. They've already clocked it because as they were trying to get this DNA information, they had already built out this family tree of 4,000 different names and possibilities, narrowing it down to this Webb character who had always been interesting to them because this guy, Charles Webb, did not have a date of death on record. They were able to track down a first cousin three times removed on his mother's side, they say. And July 23rd of this year, they matched DNA from one of those tested decades-old hairs, more than half a century-old hairs, and they matched it to one of Webb's distant living relatives. So the odds against it not being Webb are enormous now, right? It's pretty much pretty clear that this is the guy. For a lot of people, this investigation satisfies their belief, or, you know, satisfies their burden of proof. But why do we say it's an asterisk? It's a mystery solved asterisk in the beginning. Well, it's because knowing who the person is huge and hopefully a very worthwhile closure for the family. But we don't really know what he was doing, right? Like if you saw a mystery person who was dead in your neighborhood, in your street, and the police investigated, and they said, oh, yeah, it turns out this guy's name is Patrick Flanagan. okay, case closed. You would probably still like say, well, why was he here though? That's an Irish guy.
How did he die?
Yeah, how did he die? Why did he have a horse saddle and a riding crop with him? There are no horses around here. You know, like all this weird stuff.
Yeah. There's something interesting in the CNN article, at least that's how I found out about this, Ben. Abbott mentions that if this person, Webb, is in fact the Somerton Man, that person that they've identified, Webb, really liked to bet on horses, right? And they're like, they're thinking that that has something to do with why that stuff was there. And the, remember the weird letters or like the codes? It looked like code or something, but it was just strange letters. There were, some of them were marked out.
Yeah.
They're thinking that has something to do with horse betting.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Kind of it's like MMT, but it looks like MTBIMPANETP.
Mm-hmm.
Like what could these be? That's not a horse name.
Yeah,
I would just think it'd be more numerical if it was like keeping track of races and wins and losses or horses' names or something. There's another one that says like MLIABO. Like none of these. Maybe it's code. Yeah, you're right. Maybe it's some kind of cipher that like to keep his secret sauce a secret or something. I don't know.
And what if the secrecy? What if the secret sauce was just, you know, the horses he was planning on betting on? And he didn't want anybody looking over his shoulder.
Yeah. Right? That could be. Maybe there's extra letters, or it's. No, I don't know. It's just, there's. It's all capital letters. There's no. I don't know what the code would be, but who knows? Mm.
Oh, the body was, by the way, eventually exhumed in May of 2021. So they did. They weren't at this point going entirely just on the death mask, though. The hair from that does seem to be the proof. So with this, you know, one of the questions we have to ask now is how solved is this? What was Somerton doing according to conclusions that we can see in things like that CNN article? The idea is that he was not, in fact, a spy, as tantalizing, as interesting as that is. Instead, he was a guy who died one day alone on a beach. If that is, you believe, the official conclusion. Because it's hard to 100% close the door on that for a lot of people. You know what I mean?
It's true.
It's like the Guidestones. If we know the real story, the mystery is all gone.
Right.
Yeah, I think we unfortunately have a relatively plausible answer for that one. And it's not a particularly good dude. But, you know, it is what it is.
Well, it's also... It reminds me of the time I was talking to a Bigfoot investigator who eventually said, it gave me the strong impression that they didn't actually want Bigfoot to be found. For them, it was kind of about the journey, you know?
Yeah, that's certainly, I subscribe to that.
I mean, what if you find him, he's got regular feet? That's kind of a letdown.
Mm-hmm. Or he's like a racist. You know, I mean, geez.
What do you find? Or he's insufferable about something. He's one of those. Yeah. He's one of those well, actually, people. Or he's I don't know. Maybe that's it. Maybe we're all better not meeting Bigfoot because you know they say never meet your heroes, right? But this does show us something really important. This is what I wanted to end on. I think it's a point that we can maybe all appreciate here and something we can take away from. This story. So one, especially now and going forward, mysteries that were once considered unsolvable are no longer impossible to crack. Somerton Man, the original Night Stalker, or the EAR, as he was also called, was found. And then we can secondly say that because humans are the stories they tell themselves, it can be easy to fall into the most exciting explanation. Even when that's not the case, because people like exciting things. People don't like being bored, right? So this is an example of a hard work and investigation that just followed the truth, did not try to impose a narrative, right? Or for lack of a better word, a sexier ending to the story. So thank you to Professor Abbott and the team. Thank you again to everybody who reached out to us regarding this. Can't wait to hear from you. Hope all is well down under. And perhaps most importantly, want to hear your ideas about other so-called unsolvable mysteries that you think may be solved in the future. What are they? Hopefully they're obscure. Hopefully there's stuff we haven't even heard about on the show. Can't wait to hear from you. Thanks, of course, to Simon. Thanks to everybody who wrote it in about Somerton. Thanks to Jack. Thanks to you, Keebler, for that disturbing dystopian cookie of smart surveillance. If you want to take a page from their book, then why not? The time is now. Contact us. We try to be easy to find online.
That's right. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. And you can find us on, what's it called? The YouTubes. That's it. We exist in all of those places at the handle Conspiracy Stuff. On Instagram, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show.
If you don't like social media, why not consider giving us a phone call like Jack did? By the way, Jack's full moniker is Jack Kelly. And I really thought Jack was just giving us his full name. Then I realized it's an Always Sunny reference. And I feel really dumb. I'm Jack Kelly. I'm a lawyer.
We were talking about big feet. We should be talking about big hands, right, Jack?
Seriously. Yes, you can give us a call just like Jack. Our number is 1-833-STDWYTK. It's super easy. You've got 3 minutes. Give yourself a cool nickname. We don't care what it is. Say whatever you'd like. We do ask that you include whether or not you give us permission to use your name and voice on the air. Really, that's it. Those are the only rules. Unless you've got more to say than can fit in that 3 minutes, because in that case, you should instead send us a good old-fashioned email. We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.